السلام عليكم.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. How are you, شيخ؟
الحمد لله.
إن شاء الله we will get started with the lesson.
إن شاء الله.
الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله رب العالمين. والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear respected students, may Allah bless you all for your attendance. Today we are covering The Virtues of Islam by Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab Rahmul Ali. Just a quick reminder, please take notes, listen attentively, and send your questions over to the co-host throughout the course of the lesson. With that said, I'll pass it back to the Sheikh to start the lesson. Barakallahu fikum, jazakumullah khairan, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, today is our weekly class, Fadail al-Islam, The Virtues of Islam, by Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala. And we reach where the author is saying, Babu qawlihi Allah ta'ala, fa'aqim wajhaka lid-deeni hanifa. So this is the title of the chapter of the topic the Sheikh has come to address. The ayah in Surah Ar-Rum, number 30. Allah says, فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِخَلْقِ اللَّهِ ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ وَلَكِنَّ أكثر الناس لا يعلمون. So be steadfast in faith in all uprightness, O Prophet. The natural way of Allah, which He has instilled in all people. Let there be no change in this creation of Allah. That is the straight way that most people do not know. So the Sheikh here, rahimahullah, he used this ayah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inviting the mankind to follow the monotheistic creed, the creed that Ibrahim alayhi salam was upon, which is the fitrah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala embedded in each human of us and every human being. So فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا, so adhere and abide by the monotheistic religion. And this is the fitrah ذات فطرة is what Allah سبحانه وتعالى فطرنا عليها, what Allah عز وجل created us upon. It is this natural disposition. And that cannot be changed. لا تبديل لخلق الله. And we should not listen to the cursed one who commands us to try to play with God's creation, whether in this body, playing with your own body, modifying it through surgical operations, okay, as you know, women they are doing, okay, for the sake of beauty, or by playing in with God's creation in laboratories, where they are playing with the the hormones, with the chromosomes, etc. Because once we, a human being, started to put his hand in Allah's creation and try to modify, the results will be destructive results and fatal. Okay? Many of you may be read about the story of the goat, the dolly, the goat, where they did the cloning. The poor goat didn't survive, died. Because when you clone a human being, that cell which you took from that human being carries all the characteristics and traits of that particular human being. So that cell, the age of it, is the age of that particular human being. So this child who is born, he will be having the same characteristics from day one. He is the age of that, of the owner of the cell. Subhanallah. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he warned us, said, don't try to change and modify Allah's creation. And that is exactly what the shaitan promised and said, I will command them to change Allah's creation and try to modify. And this fitra, this monotheistic deed, all prophets they were upon, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says also in Surah Al-Baqarah, the author mentioned, ayah 132, وَوَصَّ بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ وَيَعْقُوبُ يَا بَنِيَّ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينَ فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, he advised his own children, and Yaqub alayhi salam, this was the advice of Abraham as well as Jacob to his children, saying, indeed Allah has chosen for you this faith, so do not die except in a state of Islam, full submission. Also, Allah says in Surah An-Nahl, this is a recap, I think. ثم أوحينا إليك أن اتبع ملة إبراهيم حنيفا وما كان من المشركين. Then we reveal to you, O Prophet, saying, follow the faith and the millah and the religion of Abraham, the upright, who was not one of the polytheists. And we talked about that, that Ibrahim was one, not one of the mushriks, and he was not in doubt. And all the things that he said were for his people, just for the sake of argument. عن ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن لكل نبي ولاة من النبيين وأنا ولي منهم أبي إبراهيم وخليل ربي. This is in Musnad Ahmad and also Tirmidhi. Then he read, ثم قرأ إن أولى الناس بإبراهيم للذين اتبعوه وهذا النبي وهذا النبي والذين آمنوا والله ولي المؤمنين. رواه الترمذي وأحمد وصححه الألباني في صحيح سنن أبي داود. ابن مسعود, may Allah be pleased with him, said, Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, verily, certainly, every prophet has supporters, allies from among Allah's prophets. And my wali from among them is Ibrahim, my Lord's Khalil. Then he read, indeed, those who have the best claim to Abraham are his followers, this prophet, Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, and the believers. And Allah is the guardian of those who believe. So this beautiful hadith, here the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is making it clear that your wali, the one whom you should take as supporter, as an ally, you should only take believers. So your supporters, your helpers should not be disbelievers, because they cannot be. And they cannot be, you cannot trust them. You cannot trust them. They can betray you anytime. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu has taken a non-Muslim as a writer during the reign of Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab. So he was writing the confidential document. And he's not a Muslim. So how can you trust him to write official letters? So when the news reached Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he wrote a very strong letter to Abu Musa, telling him, مَا لَكَ قَاتَلَكَ اللَّهُ. Why have you taken a non-Muslim scribe, a writer? أَلَتَّخَذْتَ كَاتِبًا حَنِيفًا. Why didn't you take a believer, a monotheistic writer? Abu Musa radiallahu anhu replied, I have nothing to do with his belief. I only recruited him for his writing, for writing for us. Sayyidina Umar replied, La tudnihim id aqsahum Allah. Don't bring them closer when Allah kept them distant. Allah didn't say they should be close to you, because Allah said, Allahu waliyyul ladhina amanu. Allah is the wali. Innama waliyukum Allahu wa rasuluhu wal ladhina amanu. Your wali is Allah that they should be close to, and then his messenger, and then the believers. So he didn't make them close to you. So don't draw them near to you when Allah kept them far away from you. And do not trust them when Allah said they are not trustworthy. Okay? So here, the Prophet ﷺ is telling us, إِنَّ لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍّ وَلَاهُ مِنَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken the promise and the undertaking from all the prophets and messengers to support the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He took from them, I am, there will be a prophet. So if anyone was at his time, you should support him. This is what Allah took from all the prophets and messengers, and all expressed their readiness to do so. And because of this, Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani, rahimahullah, he used this hadith to refute that Al-Khidr died, to refute the claim that Al-Khidr is alive. And by using this hadith, he said Al-Khidr died and he was not alive. Because if he is still alive, he should come to the Prophet ﷺ and support him, because Al-Khidr is a prophet. So Al-Khidr, alayhi salam, he passed away. Otherwise, he would have come and he would have supported and he would have given the allegiance to the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, when he saw Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab reading some leaves, some pages of the Torah, Sayyidina Umar was engrossed, totally absorbed reading it, and he didn't see the signs of anger on the face of the Prophet ﷺ. So someone drew Sayyidina Umar's attention, said, may your mother lose you. Don't you see the facial expressions of the Prophet? So when Umar became attentive and aware, the Prophet told him, أَمُتَهَوِّكُونَ أَنْتُمْ يَبْنَ الْخَطَّابِ. Are you in doubt, O son of al-Khattab? So you are seeking guidance elsewhere in the Torah. لَقَدْ أَتَيْتُكُمْ بِهَا بَيْضَاءَ نَقِيَّةَ. I have brought to you this message of al-Islam, so clear, pure, no ambiguities. free from any flaws and defects. لو كان موسى بن عمران حيا ما وسعه إلا اتباع. If Moses himself, upon whom the Torah was revealed and the Torah was given to, if he were alive, he would not have any chance or option except to follow me. Except to follow me. So here the Prophet is saying, verily every prophet has supporters and allies from among Allah's prophets. And my wali from among them is Ibrahim. And the one from among all the prophets that he is very close to me and I'm very close to him is my father, Ibrahim. So father Ibrahim is the father of the prophets. His children are prophets. And Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is one of the is a descendant of Ismail alayhi salam. So Ibrahim is his father. Because in Arabic, your grandfather is your father. Abi Ibrahim wa Khalil Rabbi. And he is the Khalil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Khalil is the intimate friend, the close friend. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also is Khalil Allah. Is Khalil Allah also. But many Muslims, if you ask them who is Khalilullah, they say Ibrahim alayhi salam. But also the Prophet is Khalilullah. Then the Prophet he read the ayah 68 of Ali Imran. Inna awla an-nasi bi Ibrahim lalladhina ittaba'uhu wa hadha an-nabiyyu walladhina amanu wallahu waliyyul mu'minin. So, those who have the best claim to Abraham, alayhi salam, Ibrahim, alayhi salam, of course, his followers, and then Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then us, the believers, the followers of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Okay? We have the right. We are the followers of Ibrahim alayhi salam. أصبحنا على فطرة الإسلام وكلمة الإخلاص وعلى دين نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى ملة أبينا إبراهيم حنيفا مسلما وما كان من المشركين. This dua we say every day, a Muslim. When we rise from our sleeps, we are upon the fitra, we are upon the deen of our Prophet ﷺ, and the millah, the creed of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Wallahu waliyyul mu'mineen. Allah is the wali, the protector, the guardian of the believers. The Prophet ﷺ told the Sahaba in one of the battles when the Mushriks are saying, okay, that Lata wal Uzza are our protectors. The Prophet told the Sahaba to say, Allahu Mawlana wala Mawla lakum. Allah is our Mawla. Allah is our guardian. Allah is our protector. You don't have any protector. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: إن الله لا ينظر إلى أجسامكم ولا إلى أموالكم، ولكن ينظر إلى قلوبكم وأعمالكم. أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه، رواه مسلم. أبو هريرة، may Allah be pleased with them, عبد الرحمن بن صخر الدوسي from the tribe of Dawes. His name is عبد الرحمن بن صخر. أبو هريرة, the father of Hurairah, the father of the kitten, is only a title, لقب, because he used to carry small kitten with him. So Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him, narrated, Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Allah does not look at your figures, nor at your attire, but he looks at your heart and deeds. Let us reflect on this beautiful hadith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made the criterion, the scale or the standard, the yardstick by which He judges us, the taqwa. Taqwa, righteousness. So whoever beats you regarding the taqwa, by doing more righteous deeds, he's better than you. He's better than you. So that is the criterion. It's not your physique, how big you are, how tall you are, how heavy you are. No, no. How pious and righteous you are. And he singled out the heart. And he's looking at it. And the actions of the heart are more beloved to him than the actions of the limbs. Because the actions of the heart are so sincere, very sincere. Because the actions of the heart, no one sees them except Allah. The actions of the heart, such as love, humility, humbleness, bravery, truthfulness, putting trust in Him, reliance on Him, yaqeen, certainty. These actions of the heart are more beloved to Allah than the actions that are visible. Because the actions that are visible and we perform them using our limbs, no one can claim that they are 100% pure for the sake of Allah. Shaitan is there to spoil them. Maybe you start your salah focusing purely for the sake of Allah, then somebody entered and you started prolonging your salah so that person will say, MashaAllah. But the deeds that are not seen, Allah loves them. So that's why, my dear brothers and sisters, we need to work hard on our hearts and make sure that the heartly acts and actions are truly for him. So Allah does not look to your physique, your body, or your wealth, how wealthy you are, or how rich you are. That's not the criteria. A person who has millions or billions, actually, that's not an evidence per se in itself that Allah loves him. Allah is testing him, that's it. So if you are well off, it doesn't mean Allah loves you. Allah has given you this wealth to be tested, how you are going to spend it, how you are going to use it. Are you going to use it in doing good deeds, good actions, helping the needy, the poor, the destitute? Or you're going to spend this money in doing haram? So having money doesn't mean Allah loves you. It's a test for you. Test for you. So that's not the criteria, because Allah is giving you money and making, and your business is booming, and you are far away from Allah. Don't think that Allah is happy with you. You don't pray and the business is doing fine. Oh, you think, oh, Allah is great, is helping me. The business is booming and flourishing. No. Allah is testing you. And subhanAllah, sometimes you find people who are far away, and then they repented, far away from the state path, and then they repented and started practicing Islam, and then things started to become tougher. The business is losing, losing his the contracts, and now he is in debts, and Allah is testing you. Are you sincere? Are you sincere in your repentance? So Allah is checking you. Or when I test you, then you will decide not to obey me, because you are not worshipping me. You are worshipping the money. Because the wisdom behind testing is to check your sincerity and your truthfulness. And that's what the hadith says, إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا ابْتَلَاهُ. When Allah loves any one of his servants, he loves him or her, he tests him. If he passes the test with flying colors, Allah loves him. But if he or she goes back on his heel or her heels, say, what is this? No, I don't want this. I don't want this deen. I don't want this. So he or she fails in the test. That's why Allah tests the people according to their truthfulness and the strength of their faith, the strength of their iman. أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ بَلَاءً الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. Those who will receive the the toughest test are the prophets, then those who are close to them, then those who are close to them. فإن وجد في دين الرجل صلابة زيد له في البلاء. When it is found that the faith and iman of this particular person is strong enough, Allah tells the malaika, increase his suffering, make his exam and his test tougher, so that he can be promoted higher and higher in the Jannah. But that is the reward. So don't think by having healthy body, a lot of money, and you are sinning and you are disobeying Allah, that Allah is happy with you and Allah loves you. No, no, no. You are mistaken. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ أَجْسَامِكُمْ وَلَا إِلَىٰ أَمْوَالِكُمْ. Your wealth, Allah doesn't look at that. But he looks to what? Into your hearts and actions. What is there in that heart? What's there in that heart? That's what Allah looks at, and He knows. You can't cheat anyone. That's why checking one's heart and working and improving it is very important. Because this is the most valuable organ. You need to protect it. And anything, any sin affects it. All these five senses are conduits, channels, carrying all the sins into the heart. Their negative effects. You see haram, black spot in your heart. You eat haram, black spot in your heart. Touch haram, black spot in your heart. All these five senses. So you need to guard your heart and protect it. And work on it. And keep it busy. And keep the tongue busy with the food for the heart, which is the dhikr, the istighfar, tasbih, tahleel, takbir. Reading the Quran. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبُ. Verily, in the remembrance of Allah, the heart find sakina, serenity, peace. And that's how you strengthen your heart. By the dhikr. Allah commanded the mujahideen in the battlefield, confronting their enemies, to remember Allah a lot, because that strengthens the heart. ولكن ينظر إلى قلوبكم. Subhanallah. You know the hadith of the woman who gave water to the thirsty dog? She was a prostitute. She felt thirsty, so she came out, went into the well and drank. And then she came out. And she found that thirsty dog licking the earth. At that particular moment, something happened in her heart. She felt pity for the thirsty dog. Allah was watching that heart at that particular moment. So she decided to go down and filled her shoe with water, gave it to the dog. Allah loved that particular action of her. That action of hers, Allah loved it. And He forgave her sins, all her sins. She was all the time fornicating. Allah forgave all her sins. But that deed, Allah loved it. And she did it sincerely from the bottom of her heart. Or the man who killed 100 innocent souls. And now he is heading towards another city because the learned man told him, leave this town or city in which you live, because the atmosphere incites crime. Go to another city. And you know the hadith and the way he died before reaching. And the angels of mercy and the angels of punishment are arguing. Angels of mercy are saying he should go to Jannah. Angels of adab, the punishment, saying he should go to hell. He killed 100. Angels of mercy are saying, but he repented. Allah sent another angel to judge between them and told them, measure the distance. If he's closer to the city that he is heading to, take him to Jannah. And they found him close to it, to that city. Another narration, Allah told that city to become closer. Why? He was forgiven after he killed 100. He was sincere. He repented. He repented. And repentance is here in the heart. ولكن ينظر إلى قلوبكم وأعمالكم. Also, Allah looks into our deeds, our actions. So now one should not say, oh, my heart, everything is clear in my heart. If your heart is clear and pure heart, heart of gold, as they say, that should be reflected and manifested and shown in your actions. If you have pure heart, you will not backbite and slander people. You will not gossip. You will not do shameful deeds. Because your limbs should reflect what you hold in your heart. So if your actions are telling us the opposite, that means your heart is corrupt. It's not sound, it's not whole. Because your deeds should reflect what you hold here. ولكن ينظر إلى قلوبكم وأعمالكم. Another hadith, قال عبد الله بن مسعود قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أنا فرطكم على الحوض، أنا فرطكم على الحوض ليرفعن إلي رجال منكم حتى إذا أهويت لأناولهم اختلجوا دوني فأقول: أي رب أصحابي، يقول: لا تدري ما أحدث بعدك. Very scary حديث، very scary حديث. And it is in Bukhari Muslim. Narrated Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, the Prophet said, I am your predecessor at the lake fount Al-Kawthar. And some men amongst you will be brought to me. And when I will try to hand them some water, they will be pulled away from me by force. Whereupon I will say, O Lord, my companions, O my Lord, my companions. Then the Almighty Allah will say, You do not know what they did after you left. They introduced new things into the religion after you. This was hadith is scary. Those who invent in the deen, those who modify, those who keep adding things, innovations in the deen, they will be deprived of drinking from the fountain, from the Kawthar. The Kawthar, this pool, this river, this lake, fountain, that was given to the Prophet ﷺ in the Jannah. It is water, whiter than the milk, whiter than the milk, sweeter than the honey. Whoever drinks from it will never feel thirsty. May Allah make us among those who will drink from it. Ameen. The number of cups, glasses, as many as the number of the stars. The banks of this river are made of precious stones. Because the Prophet ﷺ, you will find your prophet on that day either at the Kawthar or at the scales when the deeds are measured, or at the Sirat. These are the places. So here he is telling you, Ana faratukum ala al-hawd. I will be waiting for you to receive you at my hawd, at my Kawthar, at my the lake fount. Giving water to his ummah. And now imagine, because the Prophet ﷺ was asked, how you're going to recognize us, O Prophet, on that day? He said, by the signs of wudu. The signs of wudu. The limbs that you wash will be shining. And now you are going to the fountain to drink, and all of a sudden someone pulls you away. from the Kawthar. SubhanAllah. So much so that the Prophet said, he's from my Ummah, because he's seeing the signs. The reply comes back, he's not. You don't know what they did after you. You don't know what they did after you, what they did to the deen. You don't know. Because the Prophet, after his death, he doesn't know. He doesn't know. لَا تَدْرِي مَا أَحْدَثُ بَعْدَكَ. ولهما البخاري ومسلم عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أتى المقبرة فقال السلام عليكم دار قوم مؤمنين وإن إن شاء الله بكم لاحقون وددت أن قد رأينا إخواننا قالوا أولسنا إخوانك يا رسول الله قال أنتم أصحابي وإخواننا الذين لم يأتوا بعد فقالوا كيف تعرف من لم يأتي بعد من أمتك يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال أرأيت لو أن رجلا له خيل غر محجلة بين ظهري خيل دهم بهم ألا يعرف خيله؟ قالوا بلى يا رسول الله قال فإنهم يأتون غرا محجلين من الوضوء وأنا فرطهم على الحوض ألا ليذادن رجال عن حوضي كما يذاد البعير الضال كما يذاد البعير الضال أناديهم ألا هلما فيقال إنهم قد بدلوا بعدك فأقول سحقا سحقا. This is in Bukhari and Muslim. The meaning, listen to this, another scary hadith. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to the graveyard al-Baqiyya and said, peace be upon you, the abode of the believing people, and we, if Allah wills, are about to join you. I love to see my brothers. They, the Sahaba, said, aren't we your brothers, O Messenger of Allah? He said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you are my companions. And our brothers are those who have so far not come into the world, those who will come after me. They said, Messenger of Allah, how would you recognize those persons of your ummah who have not yet been born? He said, supposing a man had horses with white blazes on foreheads and legs, white spots on their foreheads and legs, among horses which were all black, tell me, would he not recognize his own horses? They said, certainly, O Messenger of Allah. He said, they would come with white faces and arms and legs owing to ablution because of the wudu. And I would arrive at the cistern, the fountain, before them. Some people would be driven away from my fountain as the stray camel is driven away. I would call out, "Come, come." Then it will be said to me, "These people chained themselves after you. They chained themselves after you." And I would say, "Be off, be off." Let us reflect now. So the Prophet, he paid a visit to the cemetery, to the graveyard next to the masjid, Al-Baqiyah. And this is what we say when we visit the graveyard. As-salamu alaykum, dar qawmin mu'mineen. أنتم من السابقين وإن إن شاء الله بكم لاحقون نسأل الله لنا ولكم العافية هذا الدعاء. So here السلام, when you say السلام عليكم, this is دعاء. It's not the salutation or the greeting, because the salam is one of the names. So you are invoking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant them peace and safety and security in their graves. Because the dead people, they do not hear, because many people misunderstand and think the dead, they hear. No, the dead, they do not hear. Allah says, وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُسْمِعٍ مَنْ فِي الْقُبُورِ. You cannot make the dead in the graves hear you. You cannot. أموات غير أحياء وما يشعرون أيان يبعثون. They are dead, not alive, and they don't know when they will be resurrected. That's why Sayyidina Umar, listen to this carefully. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab, after the Battle of Badr, you know the Battle of Badr, the chiefs of Quraysh died. The heads of Kufr, Abu Jahl, Umayy ibn al-Khalaf, etc. And their bodies were thrown into a dry well of water. After a few days, the Prophet ﷺ came out and he stood on the edge of the well and he talked to the dead people name by asking, mentioning their names. Oh, so and so, have you found what Allah mentioned true? I found what Allah promised true. Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab was confused. Said, "O Prophet of Allah, they are dead, they don't hear you." Because Sayyidina Umar al-Khattab, understand this very subtle and this point. It is known to Sayyidina Umar that the dead, they do not hear. That's why he is now raising the question. They don't hear, the dead, they do not hear. So how, O Prophet of Allah, you are talking to them? Now, either Sayyidina Umar was correct or wrong. If he was wrong, the Prophet would have corrected him. But he didn't correct him. Actually, he approved of what Sayyidina Umar said. But Sayyidina Umar was not aware what is happening is an exception. What is happening here is a miracle. What is happening here is something special for the Prophet. So the Prophet told him, "Now they hear me." Another narration, Allah brought them into life to make them hear. Yes, Umar, Under normal circumstances, they do not hear, but here it's different. They hear me. But the dead, they do not hear. The person, when we lower him into his body, his grave, he hears us. He hears the footsteps of the people when they are leaving. That moment, he hears the footsteps. When the people are moving, are leaving. After that, he doesn't hear. The prophet said, that moment he hears. After that, the dead, they do not hear. Assalamu alaikum, dar qawmin mu'mineen. Okay. Peace be upon you, O inhabitants of this abode of the believers. By God, God willing, we will soon join you. Then he said, I wish I met my brothers. Companion said, aren't we your brothers or Allah's messenger? He said, no, you are my companions. My brothers are going to come. They're not born yet. They're not. Generations to come. Then he was asked, and how are you going to recognize them, O Prophet of Allah? So he told them, if you have horses with badges, red, white, okay, signs on their foreheads, okay, or in their legs, and they are among dark and black horses, will it be difficult for you to recognize your own horses? They said, no, of course, we will recognize our horses. He said, similarly, my ummah on that day, the places of wudu, their faces, their hands will be shining, will be white. So that's how I recognize them. And I will receive them at my fountain. Then he said, and some men, they will be pulled away from my fountain. In the same way, you stop the stray camel. You know, you have your own camels and you are giving them water. Then a camel of somebody else came and wants to drink along with your camels. So you chase it away. So some of his ummah will be chased away. Pulled away, taken away from the Kawthar. Though the Prophet is telling them, come, angels are pulling them and taking them away. And they tell the Prophet, Qad baddalu, they have changed the deen, modified the deen, changed the deen. Waqulu suhtan, suhtan. Woe to them, woe to them. Be off, be off. So, my dear brothers and sisters, if you want to drink from the Kawthar, follow the Sunnah, abide by the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Don't modify, don't add, don't innovate, don't invent. Just follow the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us remain steadfast on this beautiful deen until we meet our Rabb and find him pleased with all of us. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our faults, mistakes, ignorance. May Allah bless us with the beneficent knowledge of righteous deeds. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide our ummah to the haqq and unite our hearts in the haqq. And may Allah reward all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, immensely for your patience and attendance. Barakallahu feekum. جزاكم الله خيرا والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I think the admin is not there. So please forward your questions. Forward your questions. Question says, what lesson do we actually get from the stories like the story of the prostitute who fed who gave water to the thirsty dog and the man who killed 99, and then he completed and made them 100 and they were admitted to paradise? What we learn from these ahadith, Allah's mercy is so vast. Okay, and when someone repents sincerely, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala washes away and wipes away his sins or her sins. This is Allah's rahmah, this is God's mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loves you more than your own mother. Imagine that. So you should not despair of Allah's mercy. No matter what you did, the door is still open for you. Is it possible Allah will accept me? Yes, Allah will accept you. Don't let the cursed one, Satan, to make you despair of Allah's mercy. Because Satan is a crafty guy and he knows what to do. So he wants you to continue sinning. So he magnifies your sins and tells you, there is no chance for you. You are destined to hell. You are going to the hellfire. So he wants you to despair so that you will continue sinning. Don't fall into that trap. When Satan whispers to you, say no. Allah will forgive me. Allah encompasses everything in His mercy. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Oh, my servants who wronged themselves and crossed the boundaries in committing sins, do not despair of Allah's mercy. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Because despairing of Allah's mercy is kufr. To despair of Allah's mercy is disbelief, blasphemy. Because you think your sins are too many and Allah cannot forgive them. Allah forgives everything. Nothing is difficult for him. That's why in the hadith, Ya ibn Adam, لو بلغت ذنوبك عنان السماء ثم لقيتني لا تشرك بي شيئا لأتيتك بقرابها مغفرة ولا أبالي. O son of Adam, were your sins to reach the clouds? Imagine this hadith. Your sins become something material. And they have filled the entire planet, the whole earth. And now they are piling up and hitting the clouds. If you have that colossal amount, number of sins, Allah will forgive them. As long as you meet Him without associating any partner with Him. So Allah's mercy is so vast. When you repent and turn to Allah, Allah forgives all your sins. When you revert to Al-Islam and you become a Muslim, all the sins you committed in the past are washed away. So that's what we learn from this hadith, that the door for the sinners to repent is open 24/7, all the time. Allah descends every night, in the last third of the night, in a manner that suits His majesty and glory. And He asks, anyone wants me to forgive him? Oha. Anyone wants anything? Every night. So that's what we learn, alhamdulillah, that Allah is al-Ghafoor al-Rahim. Allah is the most merciful, the most kind. In the hadith, Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna rahmati taghlubu ghadabi, inna rahmati tasbiqu ghadabi. My mercy precedes my anger, and my mercy overcomes my anger. I hope this is clear to the questioner. Question says, how do we determine the amount for fidya, expiation, for someone who lives in the UK but is paying for the fidya, expiation, for their elderly father who lives abroad? If it is money, can you give money all at once, or does it have to be paid daily? If money is not allowed, what should one buy, and could it be brought for the whole month, or should it be given daily? Alhamdulillah, the one who is not able to fast, for example. So for every day you feed one poor fellow, person, okay? For every day, a meal, full meal, full meal. So you see the full meal, how much is going to cost, one full meal. And you, there are many options. You can feed if the on daily basis, or you can pay all in one go. You can evaluate the price of the meal, and if you want to send it to where your father lives, and there they can buy the food and or cook the food and give to the poor families or poor person. So there are leeway and there are room here, and it is there is a flexibility, and it has to be food. It has to be food. You feed them, feed them. You buy, you evaluate its price, and then you buy food and give it, and you feed this poor family. And can it be giving to one person or different? Okay. Alhamdulillah, you can, you have different options here. You can do that. You can keep feeding one person, or you can invite 30 ones and feed them in one go, as you like. I hope this is clear to the questioner. Is it allowed to give zakah money for the maintenance of graveyards? No. See, my dear brothers and sisters, the zakah, Allah distributed it himself. It's not left to us. So the categories are known. Categories are known. Many people, they try to solve all the problems of the ummah by the zakah. No. And some of these charity organizations, they take the zakah of the people, but they don't spend it as Allah said. Either they will take the money from you and buy food for the poor families in a particular country. That's wrong. You have no right to do that. You have to pass the money that was given to you to the poor families. They know their needs better than you. They know their needs better than you. You give them the money, and it's up to them now. It is their money now. To buy food, to pay the fees of the schools, the bills of electricity, water and electricity, whatever. It is their own money. But to buy food and give it to them, that's not your right. And you are not carrying the amana, the trust that was given to you. You should not do this. Okay? You were giving the money, give it to the poor as money. You were giving food, give it to them as you received it. I hope this is clear. So, the graveyards, schools, hospitals, the orphanages, etc. No. Should be come from the sadaqah, not from the zakah. Yes, you will hear and come across some contemporary scholars. They could put all these things under fi sabilillah, for the cause of Allah. And fi sabilillah is the jihad. That's it. I hope this is clear to all of you. Some Muslims consider having an open chat, like WhatsApp group, mixed both gender, is something haram. Why there should be a chat between the opposite sex? Why? Listen, sisters, my advice for you. Never ever get closer to men. And never ever someone who is not your mahram, trust him. He is sheikh, he is a student of knowledge. Stay away. Just in the same way, the Prophet ﷺ said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالدُّخُولَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. Stay away from places where there are women. Do not enter places where there are women. You should do the same thing. There are men, stay away from that. You should behave like the two daughters of Shu'aib. You should be pious like the two daughters of Prophet Shu'aib. When Musa alayhi salam, you know, he arrived at Madian and he saw a group of people watering their animals, giving water to their animals. And he saw two girls far away from the men tending their sheep. He approached them and he asked them, what's the problem? They said, we do not give water to our sheep until all the people leave. So the well is free. We don't mix with men. And our father is old person. So Musa alayhi salam, he looked around, he saw another well covered with the lid. He removed and carried the lid with one hand. He threw the bucket, filled it with water, and filled the pool with water. And he told them, now you can, that well is free. And they gave water to their flock of sheep and they returned. The father was surprised because they came early. He said, what happened? You know, they told him the story. And one of them said, my father, after they informed him, he said, go and call him. She went. Musa alayhi salam, he was sitting in the shade of a tree and he prayed to Allah, okay, to bless him, pious woman, wife. So one of them came, walking modestly. She was shy. She said, my father is inviting you to reward. He told her, walk behind me, Musa alayhi salam. Don't walk in front of me. Because if a woman is walking in front of you and the shaitan is there, so you will be just watching her body. So he told her, walk behind me. And when you want me to turn right, throw a stone to the right, left to the left, until we reach. Don't talk to me. And she did. And now they arrived. So the girl said to her father, oh my father, hire him. He's trustworthy. And he is an honest person. And he is strong. قوي. The ulama, they said he came to know about his strength when he lifted the lid, the cuff of the well, and that he is Amin, trustworthy, when he told her, walk behind me. So my sisters behave like these two pious women, girls. Don't mix with men. Stay away from them. When a man is with a woman, shaitan is there. Even on the net, we don't see each other. Only we hear each other, or only text. That's how the shaitan will be pulling your leg. Even if you are in a group, then you will have private chat. And the shaitan will pull your leg. Then you start using the sound voice message. Then you will be asking each other to switch the webcam on. And then to meet, and then to commit zina. So fear Allah. Stay away from mixing with men. Men are hungry wolves. A man, any man, when he is with a woman, he is only thinking of one thing, how to get her to bed. That's the truth. If he is having manhood, if he is gayish, that's different. Okay, regarding the fidya, what I meant by evaluate the cost, you see the cost of the meal. If you are going to have this meal, buy this meal from restaurant, how much is going to cost this meal, full meal, meat, rice, everything? That's what I meant. Next question, please. Alhamdulillah, barakallahu feekum, jazakumullah khair. This brings us to the end of today's session. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, protect you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate your status in this world and in Jannatul Na'im. Ameen. Until we meet inshallah in the coming session, I leave you in Allah's company and protection. Bihifdhullahi wa ra'ayatihi. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.